within its verses. And I just always love that song. Amen. How are you tonight? Good. I got my phone out because I have information on that, and I had forgotten something I wanted to tell you, and I can't find it on there, so I'm still not going to tell you. It'll come in another service. But I do have this. Two men, they were hunting deer, and they shot a deer, and they grabbed that deer and began to pull it out of the woods, and pretty soon another guy came up alongside, and he'd also gotten a deer and pulling it, and he looked at those gentlemen, and he said, you know, he says, if you guys would turn around and pull that deer another direction, you wouldn't have to be pulling against the horns all the time. And they looked at one another and they said, that's really a good idea. And after they drugged deer for a while, the one guy looked at the other and he said, boy, this really does work good. And the other guy said, yeah, but we're getting farther away from the truck. I said that for our deer hunter buddies out here. So. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to look at two verses tonight. Verse number 12 and 13. Chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 12 and 13. The Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14 is pretty good too. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much this evening. We have the privilege to enter this place. I pray You might work in our hearts, bless and all that is said and done. Encourage us, enlighten us. Lord, bring upon us conviction where needed. Dear God, just do what needs to be done in each of our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There are things that we say from time to time, their own opinions. This is my opinion. I believe I have backing for it, but I think that the greatest quality of God is His holiness. And the reason I say that is because we find at the throne of God that the seraphim, they are crying out His holiness. We find it in the book of Isaiah. We find it many, many years later as John writes the Revelation. And God is holy. Marvelous. As we think about who God is. But what is it about man that God, this is my opinion again, loves the most? What is it that God seems to be looking for more than anything else in His people? I think verse number 12 really teaches us something valuable. When He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that He counted me what? Faithful, putting me into the ministry. There's a calling of God into the ministry. The world, they look at it and they think, well, that's a career choice like anything else. And so you would prepare for it like anyone else would prepare for a career. And oftentimes Christians have much the same idea, believing that, you know, if we're going to be a person that is going into the ministry, why, you know, if we're going to go into that, we need to go into higher education, which means that we go to college and we go to, rather than a regular college, we're going to a Bible college that we might learn the things of God and thus be able to go into the ministry. However, may I say to you tonight that there's something I think God's looking for more than that, and it's called faithfulness. Faithfulness. When He says He hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful. Where are we going to get our enablement to do what it is that God wants us to do? Where are we going to get the ability to do what it is that God wants us to do? If God has called us to a certain place and to do a certain thing, where are we going to get that ability? Well, He tells us here that God is the enabler. Do you believe that? Why, of course. Of course. And really, we can do a lot of things to enhance, but God's the one, and in the end, must enable that. And so when God finds somebody that's willing to be faithful, perhaps He will take him to Bible college. Perhaps He will have him trained under a godly pastor. We find in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Interesting concept. Perhaps God wants us also to gain much from our own personal study. And in those things, we don't always get the illustrations we might need or the individual attention, but nonetheless, it is there. But God wants you and I believe, first of all, if we're going to be used, to be faithful. With such an emphasis upon this quality, I believe it strikes us as extremely important to understand what does it mean to be faithful. What does it mean? And I'm pretty simple-minded. I want to just, point number one, what it is. Point number two, what it does. And point number three, and I have to look, what it will be. What it is, what it does, and what it will be. What is it? Well, we go to the book of dictionary book, the book of Webster, if you please, and we find that Mr. Webster said, "It is firm in adherence to truth and to the duties of religion." Now, I want you to think about that meaning for a moment. When Webster, by the way, Noah Webster penned the dictionary that you and I might have meanings to words that we could study the Bible and understand it. If you get his original dictionary of 1828, you get a hold of that. And by the way, it's in reprint. It's available today. You can also get it on CD. And I think you can download it some places. Count on paying about $50 for it. But you'll find that dictionary, many of the words, as he uses them in illustration or makes a sentence, he actually goes to Scripture and there's a Scripture verse written there. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted people to understand the Word of God. And if we're going to understand the Word of God, we need to understand the meanings of words. Somebody said, what should we have if we're going to understand the Word of God? Well, first of all, you need a Bible. Amen? You know, when a preacher says amen, you're supposed to say, yeah, amen. Okay? That's just a little throw out tidbit there. Amen? Now you're getting the idea, okay? And another thing that a person needs is a pencil and a paper to write down things that you don't know. Amen? That wasn't quite as good as before. Amen? That's better. All right. So we have these tools that we might be able to use. And it's good for us to write things down. There's another thing I think, and I think is very, very important, and that is a dictionary. I've had people say, well, preacher, could you get me a Bible dictionary? Okay, get Noah Webster's 1828. It's the best one out there. Get a dictionary. I would say to you, get the oldest one you can. It would be helpful, but get a dictionary. It doesn't have to be a Bible dictionary. Matter of fact, the Bible dictionary has really a different purpose than what you find in what we describe as dictionaries. Get a dictionary so you can understand words. Look up words. How many have ever looked up the word "the"? Have you done that? Very good. Yeah. We don't think about doing that. You say, well, I know what that means, "the." No, it means "the." Anyway, we have words. Look them up. Find out their meanings. It's an exciting thing to discover words and have that dictionary. And so we have this thing of the definition here. He says faithful. He says, what is it? Firm in adherence to the truth. What's it mean? In other words, we know what truth is and we stand with it. But let's understand, there's a dual definition here. And the other part of that definition is, and to the duties of religion. It's not only standing firm, it's doing something. Amen? It's doing something. You say, well, I am going to the house of God for God. No, that's for you. What are you doing for Him? You see, we have an obligation to be in the business of God's work. And so God wants us to be, what, faithful. And that means we're going to adhere to the truth, and then we're going to be adhering to its duties. We're going to be following. We're going to be doing it. When God used James to write the Bible, it said, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." And so it's knowing the truth, and then it's working and doing. And we find, of course, many evidences of faithfulness throughout the Word of God. And what's interesting is that God says so much about it. Well, what does it do? What does it do? Let's think about faithfulness for a little bit. God gives us big jobs if we're willing to do little jobs. I want you to think about that a minute. Luke chapter number 16, I want to read three verses. Verse 10 through 13 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." What's he saying? He is saying here, if you want big jobs, you need to be willing to do the little jobs that God gives you. If we're going to be faithful, it's in, I believe most of the time, in those little things and accomplishing them. God used a man by the name of Saul. He changed his name to Paul, and he became an apostle. Paul served over a year in a church at Antioch, doing whatever needed to be done before God called him to the mission field. Did you ever stop thinking about that? He was in that church for over a year when God said, "This is what I now want you to do." This was after he had spent 3 years in Arabia alone with God. This was after he had preached the Christ that he had persecuted in Damascus and Jerusalem. And now God is going to use him in bigger ways. Faithfulness, commitment, is not saying no to opportunities that God puts in our path, but doing whatever that He gives us, whatever it might be. Whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, driving the bus, washing it out, cleaning the toilets, visiting the sick, shoveling the snow, wiping a kid's nose. There's all kinds of things that need to be done. And it isn't waiting for the pastor to step aside so that you can take over God's ordained pulpit and be put in charge of some things, but serving however and wherever God allows. Faithfulness, what is it? It's being willing to do the little things that we might be given the big things. I learned how to ride on a 26-inch fat-wheeled girl's bicycle in our rock driveway on the farm 2 miles from Mineola, Iowa. I fell down two or three times, and when you fall down on a girl's bicycle or a boy's bicycle in a gravel driveway, you know what you get? You get rewarded with skinned-up knees. And when we moved to town, I was so excited because I had sidewalks to ride on. And we moved in. We lived, by the way, you can go by it right now. There's a duplex right on 6th Street just after you cross Washington Avenue. It's yellow. Used to be brown. It is bright yellow. And I lived in the south side of that with my mom and dad. We moved to town back in 1954. That's before most of you knew what, you didn't know anything. And I rode around that block, and I'd go around that block, and I had that old girl's bicycle. It belonged to my sister, and it was all I had. It was a couple years later, we moved to another house. My grandma passed away, and we inherited their house. We also inherited the payments, you know how that goes. And so we moved into that house, and I remember I was about 10 years of age, and man, I wanted a nice bike. And my mom and dad, for Christmas, went and bought me a Schwinn bicycle. Now, Schwinn bicycle, when I was 10 years old, was like buying the Ferrari. We were top-of-the-line stuff. It was a good bicycle. My mother told me, she said, "Son, if you take real good care of that bicycle, when you get old enough, we might help you buy a car." Did you hear those words? She wasn't promising anything because they didn't know if they could. And she said, "We might help you buy a car when the time comes." My neighbor found out about that and he said, "Listen, you folks don't have a garage, and I got this space over here." He gave me a key, and he had a garage and a half, and on the half side, I could take my bicycle and park it. He went out and he showed me how to turn the bicycle up, down, upside down, take the back wheel off, take the sprocket out and clean all that out. And he had all the tools there. And he said, "Then what you need to do, you pack grease back into this thing." And he said, "You need to do that about every 3 to 6 months." You know, if a kid today did that once in their lifetime, it would be a miracle. And so I'd do that about once every 3, 4, 5 months and clean all that out and put the grease in. I use his grease, use these tools. The only rule I had in using his tools was I wiped them down, I put them back exactly where they were at. Exactly like my garage is today. And it needs to be. I remember when I turned 16, I got my driver's license, and it wasn't time to get a car, but I did have my license, and wherever we went, I would drive. And Dad and Mom, they'd let me drive. They were very, very brave people. And whenever I wanted, and they were not using it, and so forth, well, I could drive the car. And I could take their car and do what I needed to do. And there was a couple rules with that. One is I always put my own gas in. I didn't use their gas. Is that fair? Yeah, I think that's fair. And so I had to put gas in it. And their insurance, by the way, went up too with that. And so guess who had to pay that? So, I had to pay that. And I could drive that car whenever it was available. I went off to college and attended across the river and the university there, and I needed a vehicle. For a long time, I caught rides with people, but finally, I wanted a car. I believe I was 19 at the time, and so Dad went with me. We found one, found a 55 Ford, and found it out in Trainer, and went out and Dad and Mom gave me some money for it, paid $125 for it. You say, "That's cheap for a car." Let me tell you something. By the standards of that year, it was still too much. That car had something that cars shouldn't have. It had a thing called blow-by. And some of the men here could tell you what that is. It meant it didn't run real good. But I drove it. I was so proud of that old 55 Ford. And it got me back and forth where I was going. In the wintertime, however, we always backed it in the driveway and Dad would pull in front of it, because in the morning we'd almost always have to put jumper cables on it to jump it, because it just didn't have enough energy of its own. It was old, it was tired, and it was wanting to give up. But what I'm trying to get across to you is, Mom told me, if I'm going to ever have help with that, I had to be faithful with this. If I wanted to go up in this thing of vehicles, I had to take care of what I had then. And that was what I had to do. They made sure I did that. And I took care of that bicycle so I could get help buying that old piece of junk for $125 that I gave some of the money for. But hey, they kept their word, and it was a great lesson for me. You see, God wants us to be willing to what? do the little things that we might someday be able to do the big things. I love to see little kids who want to help their parents do things. Wise parents, they let them do it and try to help them. And of course, they're going to break some things. They're not going to do it just the right way and all those things, but they have a desire to do it. Whatever it is you're doing, it doesn't matter to them. And that's the way we ought to be with God. Ready to do whatever it is that needs to be done. God gives big jobs also to little men. Did you notice verse 13? Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Paul knew exactly who and what he was. And God is, I believe, in the business of giving the big jobs to people who are willing to do the little jobs. And God also gives big jobs to little men. It's interesting that we find so often that in ministry are those who have large egos, who think that they are so wondrous. It's interesting to me in chapter 3 and verse number 6, he says, not a novice, lest any being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. By the way, God is going to give a series of experiences in our lives to let us know that we are nothing. God is going to allow things to come to our lives that we in no way can get ourselves through it unless He does it. And what we learn through those times, we learn that God is our all in all. You see, God wants to use people who are willing to be faithful, and in that faithfulness to grow, and to grow into greater areas. What will it be in the future? Let me read this from the book of Revelation. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What will it be? What is God going to do? The reason I believe that faithfulness is the great attribute that God's looking for in lives is because of what I see Him doing for people who are. He rewards us for being faithful. We have several parables that teach us that. And God wants you and I to what? Just keep at keeping at it. I've used this story a number of times in the past. We had two men in our church in Seattle. One's name was Don, one was named Dan. Dan was just a little guy, just kind of a run of a guy. He got saved. And Don was a larger guy. Don had really tremendous ability with electronics. He had a sharp mind for some of these things. Both of them got into the bus ministry there. I worked directly with both of them. And I remember this so well because I saw it over and over. Don was an unusual fella. Don would come and he'd go out and go visit and go after the kids. I tell you, Don could fill up a bus. It was amazing. He'd go down the street and somehow he'd have every kid in that block wanting to ride the bus, and they'd be there the next Sunday. Dan, he was kind of slow and not ignorant by any means, but he did not have that ability. But what Dan had that Don didn't have was Dan did it week after week after week. I remember one Sunday we had a special day. Don came in with 120-some kids on his bus. Dan came in, he didn't have quite as many kids on his bus. He had a bunch. You say you were overloaded, you were illegal. I know. I know. I understand all that. Kids were hanging out the windows. I mean, it was, you know, it was back in the good old days when you didn't have everybody lawsuit happy. You know what I'm talking about? You could actually spank somebody else's kid and get away with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The good old days in some regards. The following Sunday, Dan had 17 kids on his bus. And Dan had the same. Not 17, but the same that he had the week before. Don would be up, he'd be down. He'd be up, he'd be down. Dan was just even flow. Don had great abilities, far greater abilities than Dan, but Dan stayed faithful. Do you know who became a pastor of a church later? Dan. Do you know where Don is today? Don't know. Don't know. Dropped out of sight. What are we saying? God is looking for somebody that's faithful. It doesn't matter your abilities. It doesn't matter how good you can do this or you can do that. God wants somebody who's just willing to do it and can be counted on. That's what God wants. And what's Paul say through inspiration? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What happens to those who are faithful? God enables them to do things they couldn't do before. What's the greatest Bible school you can go to? The Bible school of faithfulness. Keeping at it and keeping at it. God will teach you marvelous things and use you. That's what God's after. Amen? That's what He's after. Being faithful. Sticking at it. Folks can depend upon you. God can depend upon you. That is needed in our day. Father, tonight, bless. Work in our hearts. Lord, we are so much like Don so often. We're up, we're down. We're in it, we're out of it. We want to, but we don't. We do it today and we don't do it tomorrow. Oh God, that we might just take those things that you've allowed us to do and just keep on doing them. To follow after you and to accomplish what it is you want us to do day after day. And you enable us then to do even more. Lord, we find from your scripture that those who don't, he even takes away from them the things they can do and gives it to those who seek to do it. Lord, I pray that you might work in our midst tonight. Use us for your glory. Lord, help us be faithful. Bless in these moments. Do what needs to be done in our lives. In this time of invitation, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd stand, please. Christine, if you'd play. Last part, I'll go with you now. All the way. What are we talking about? Faithfulness. Just keeping at it, keeping at it. Tremendous choice, Christina. When I was in about third grade, my mother wanted me to play the clarinet. I hated the clarinet. I didn't like blowing, it hurt my cheeks. But God had given me an ability in it. And I normally played first or second chair, which means I guess you were the best or next to the best. The gal that normally played first chair, she practiced all the time. I never practiced at all. To me, it was very simple mechanics. And I could look at a note and see how long it was supposed to last. I could find it on the thing. I could play it. It was no big deal. I could even make the noise come out of it right. But I hated it. And I finally quit playing it. Do you play clarinet? You play the flute. I know that. You can play it. This guy can play about anything. I can play a mean radio. And I lost whatever ability I had. You know why? Because I wasn't faithful to it. It's gone. Say, oh, you could pick that up again. Maybe. Maybe God would allow that. It's gone. And that's what happens when we're not faithful. Amen? All right. Hey, listen. Costa Rica people, I need to see you up here right away. The rest of you, where I have some good fellowship. And we'll see you.